Right now, going to the hotline, and this should be dicey. Joe Rexroad, columnist with the Tennessean. Joe, we appreciate you taking time out, and welcome.
Well, thanks for having me, Johnny. How are you?
I'm good. So this morning, getting ready for a full day, business calls, getting ready for the show, and then we get the email. Oh, there's going to be a teleconference this morning to introduce the new athletics director at Vanderbilt. Now, here's the thing. If your new athletics director can't come to Nashville for whatever reason, you know, I just did a quick search as far as getting quotes on a private jet. If he cannot come to Nashville, in this day and age, we're in the 21st century, right? We're not talking about the 1930s or 40s. You know, as far as a teleconference to introduce somebody and an individual of this importance, it fly the members of the media there. You know, it would have been a nice it would have been a well spent $20,000 if you can't get your guy here. And I don't know about you, but my star one was not working because I certainly had a couple of questions I wanted to ask.
I got one in. I tried another, didn't get that in. A few people got two in, yeah, that's weird. I wonder if you're like if you were like they were afraid of your question or something, man. I don't know, but. I wanted to get another one in. It was strange. I guess, to me, it would be worth – I understand, like, maybe logistically it doesn't work out on the day, and maybe they didn't intend for the news to get out today. But, you know, even if that's the case to me, then just schedule the presser for tomorrow, you know?
Well, here's the other part about it. You know, when somebody introduces a new I mean, I'm already – and I'm not going to mention the school. I'm already getting phone calls planning ahead – an announcement has not even been made on a new coach yet, but I'm already getting somebody doing their job and already setting up an interview before an announcement has been made, right? I bring that up because if you're going to introduce somebody of this caliber of a position, would you not also make available times for this person to have one-on-one chats, like, for example, with you, chats with the various radio stations here in the city as well? No, there's no availability because I've already requested it, and there's no availability at this time. I mean, that makes no sense whatsoever to me.
Yeah, well, and I think, I mean, it's very easy to blame everything bad on Nick Zeppos, but I've got to say, you know, for one thing, I think some of the appeal for a teleconference is probably him not wanting to do a press conference,
right?
Based on how he has conducted himself. And you know, when you talk about, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, that you're getting a heads up from another place, and I think that's common. And I, you know, will tell you that I think there are some people, you know, at Vanderbilt who have had no idea what is coming here because Nick Zeppos has been very, very secretive about this. So, you know, read into that what you will, but, you know, the people who normally would be sort of arranging things and, you know, trying to accommodate things like this, from what I can tell, got very little to zero information on any of this during the process. So this seems all kind of run by Zeppos, orchestrated by Zeppos. And, you know, I mean, I just wrote this, come just posted. I mean, that his involvement is the biggest problem I have with the whole thing, you know, and of course you knew he was going to be involved. There are a lot of other things I think that could work here, but, you know, look, the bottom line is he's done a lot to lose trust from not just Vanderbilt fans, but I think Vanderbilt people in athletics.
I mean, here's the thing. In my sports background, you know, I worked for the private industry. When I worked for the Nashville Sounds, if you had great ideas, you know, you could get them implemented fairly quickly. I also worked for the marketing agency that represented the Houston Oilers when they made their transition to Nashville as the Tennessee Oilers and later the Tennessee Titans. Same kind of situation. It's entirely different, however. To me, it's probably similar, although I've never worked in Congress or worked in D.C. as far as with politicians, but based on all the horror stories out there, working in college athletics, trying to get anything done, you're talking about all of a sudden people throwing wrenches into the machine to slow everything down. And I bring it up because it's one thing, and you know, and it's great that Malcolm Turner has a wonderful background as far as fundraising. And you know, and it, look, it's tough enough when you're competing with outside. And this is the one of the questions I wanted to ask: when you're competing with outside entities, that's tough enough. But if you're competing with, you know, the entities inside your organization, especially in the college university setting. I mean, good luck with that. And I wanted to ask him if he had had assurances that he was going to be allowed to be independent, to be able to implement his ideas, his fundraising ideas, and say, like, for example, if he wants to raise funds to improve the football stadium, for example. But I never had the chance because nobody would go to my star one question.
Yeah, no, I mean, and it's a good question, and I think it's, you know, that came to mind for me too, is like how much vetting on his side was done here. And that also brings the question of, you know, for people who were hoping Vanderbilt would hire, you know, a sitting successful athletic director from another school.
Oh, that would make too much sense, Joe Rexroth. I mean, what are you thinking there? I mean, you know, I go back to, remember Bill Belichick on Sunday, right? Throwing Rob Gronkowski out there because, you know, Ryan Tannehill certainly has an arm to throw a 75-yard touchdown pass, right? No. So it's almost like I'm the smartest person on the field, and I'm going to show you that. And it kind of reminds me of this decision that, you know, is once again from the administration, you know, as far as Vanderbilt trying to show everybody else we're the smartest folks in the room. Remember when they had the decision where we don't need an athletics department, we don't need an athletics director? Remember that time period? Yeah. And we're talking about a Power Five conference team in Vanderbilt.
Yeah. Well, and this is where, again, if you're a Vanderbilt fan and you're hoping this works out, you can look at the fact that it's not just Nick Zeppos here. You know, he had a search committee, you know, John Ingram, you know, Shane Foster's involved in this thing. You know, so, and of course, if you read the Vanderbilt press release, my goodness, Malcolm Turner is, you know, the quotes just go on for days and days about how great he is. But, I mean, you know, you hope that there's enough checks and balances here and there's been enough vetting on their side, you know, that this is something that can work out. But I hear you. I mean, it does, because it's Vanderbilt, because of the history, that impulse of, oh, you just got to be smarter than everybody else comes up. Hey, you know what? Vanderbilt's far from the first school to think business world or at least outside college athletics world when hiring an athletic director. And some have worked out, some have not. I, you know, actually put in my column, you know, an example of one that worked, Oliver Luckett, West Virginia. An example that I was very close to that didn't was David Brandon, Toys R Us, at Michigan. You know, so I mean, this isn't out of the blue. I think as the business of college athletics has changed, you know, I mean, some people have looked at it and said you need someone more like this, more with a marketing background and you know, corporate America and things like that. And of course, Turner has been involved in athletics, but there are also things you have to navigate in this job. That it certainly helps to have been an athletic director or at least to be in athletic administration. I mean, it is a different world from anything else. And I would say probably at Vanderbilt especially. But continuing on that point, Johnny, I would say the thing I like most is that it was not someone internal. I think Vanderbilt really needed a new voice.
I agree on that one. However, you know, don't be telling me how great and how smart your new athletics director is, you know, especially with the background in marketing, and you make a major marketing 101 mistake by having a teleconference. I mean, and another thing, and you were there back when Mike Vrabel was introduced as the new head coach for the Tennessee Titans. You know, everybody was talking Patriots way. And I asked Mike Vrabel in that first press conference, everybody talks about the Patriots way. What will the Titans have to do to have a Titans way? And he basically said, you know, inside the building, we could talk about things like that, but we don't deserve to have a Titans way until we win. And I bring it up because I lost count, and this must be somebody from a PR standpoint thinking, okay, forget about anchor down. Let's come up with the new catchphrase, Vandy way, because that stupid comment was repeated I don't know how many times from both Chancellor Zeppos and Malcolm Turner throughout the teleconference today.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought about that, but hey, marketing, branding, here we go. That's very perceptive of you. And now I'm glad you brought up that presser. That was probably the best Q&A from the Vrabel presser. Yeah, I mean, it's so much of it is just bluster. And I thought most of what Zeppo said today falls into that category. You know, again, you hope that what Zeppo said was true. I mean, if what he said today was, you know, Malcolm Turner emerged as the clear, obvious best candidate. You hope it's not that actually they tried to hire candidate A, B, and C, and they all got cold feet, or candidates A and B were very interested and are very qualified, but Vanderbilt dropped the ball. You know, you hope that it truly is that, you know, Malcolm Turner just blew everyone away. And again, I thought he sounded good on the teleconference. Agree. Press conference would have been much better, one-on-ones with a press conference. And I hope Vanderbilt is smart enough to do something like that soon. But I thought he did, you know, sound good in answering questions, and he had some good things to say. And I mean, you know, we're just going to have to see on this.
Well, the other, my big fear, and I hope that this is not true, I hope that they weren't looking for a yes person.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And if that's, no question. And that's where, again.
And look, this is, and Joe, this isn't just a Vanderbilt situation, because I've been in these conference rooms with, you know, when you have the president and the VPs and all these people, and they're going, yes, yes, Mr. President, yes, President. And I've been in that, and it's like, you're not helping anybody by agreeing with the one person in the room, especially if it's a bad idea. And that's the problem I've always had, especially with college athletics. Too many people are the yes folks, but no accountability for saying yes.
No, absolutely. And I mean, if it were, again, if it were a committee of one, you know, then I'd really wonder about that. You would hope that, you know, a John Ingram can see, first of all, what some of the issues have been because of Zeppos's leadership, and would understand the need for someone to follow up David Williams' tenure and do some things that David Williams just wasn't able to do. And of course, to me, that's primarily in the area of fundraising. I mean, that's where a huge change is needed there. Whether it was that David Williams just didn't get it done or wasn't able to get it done, whatever it is, I mean, you know, you can't be in that world. You can't be in that job and not be really, really effective in that way. And Malcolm Turner was asked about that really a couple different ways today, and he said, hey, he's, you know, he's been successful in creating revenue. It's still not exactly the same thing, but at least he seems to understand that he has to do that. And no, I agree, though. I mean, if you're just talking about a yes man, it's not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, can you raise funds when you are put handcuffs on you and say, you can't go there, oh, you can't go here, no, you can't go there, you can't do that, if you're having to deal with, and that's why I wish somebody would have asked it who got through, because everybody was ignoring my star one, so I don't know who was making those decisions, but obviously they didn't want me asking questions. All right, let's turn our attention to the Tennessee Titans. You know, I said back when the Titans were taking on the New York Jets, be careful for this New York Jets team, because despite their record, they were a feisty team, and at least they had not given up. They were fighting to the end, and they showed that. Where the Titans had to pull it out in the waning moments there, you know, a couple of games ago. I bring it up because we look at the New York Giants, and everybody, you know, when you think Giants, you think bad team, right? It was because they earned that reputation earlier this year. That's not this version of the New York Giants that the Titans are going to be seeing on Sunday. They've got new blood. They've got new beliefs in themselves. And it looks like they're playing mighty good. I mean, they were up 40-0 going into the fourth quarter against Washington on Sunday. So Saquon Barkley is certainly playing like he's a second or third year player right now, and not a rookie out of Penn State. And that certainly takes some pressure off of Eli Manning. Your thoughts about this matchup Sunday?
Well, keep in mind they're playing a Washington team that just, you know, picking fans out of the stands to play quarterback. But still, you know, you're right. And you know, the amazing thing about this is, unlike in the AFC, in the NFC, 8-8 might get you in the playoffs this year. So they technically are actually still alive at 5-8. And, I mean, it's funny to say, I still think most Giants fans are probably still like, just tank, please, we need a better draft pick. But they are playing better. Saquon Barkley is a phenomenal talent. Whether you know, like the Giants' decision to go with the running back, thought they should have gone with the quarterback, hey, they got a really good running back. I mean, he is something else. And anybody who watched him at Penn State knew that. So that's a big challenge for the Titans. You know, they did a good job against Leonard Fournette. but this is a different challenge. This is a guy who can go 70 on you like that. So, like you said, Eli Manning has benefited from that. You know, it's a team that has some talent and always has, and they lost a lot of close games early, and sometimes teams like that get on a roll, and especially with stakes involved. I mean, I think this is a much different looking game than like the Jets game from a couple weeks ago, or like the Redskins game will be the following Saturday, whether, that's against Mark Sanchez or Josh Johnson at quarterback. I mean, that's a layup at this point. This one is tough. I mean, the Giants are favored in this game. So, and you know what? Maybe for the Titans, that's not a terrible thing, that this doesn't look anymore like a cream puff on the schedule, because, as we know, they don't always approach those well.
Well, it's a matter of dealing with and handling success, and that's the biggest concern. I was talking, I know you visited with Rashawn Evans, too, Thursday night, and, he was talking about the fact he wishes they could just go ahead and suit up like the weekend, because he did not want to have to wait around for 10 days before they can have the opportunity to go back on the field in a football game. The waiting around was the toughest part from his perspective. But you would think that this team has been humbled enough this year when they would not be, could not stay and keep themselves anchored down. You know, time will tell when they take the field on Sunday.
Yeah, well, Rashawn Evans is, the 23-year-old saying that. I didn't hear Brian Arakpo saying that. He's like, yeah, I'll take the 10 days off. but it's good to have a guy like Rashawn Evans right now figuring things out at this time of the year, because, obviously this team's banged up and they need as much physical help as they can get. Today officially Jonnu Smith and Jack Conklin to IR. It's going to be interesting to see how they deal with that. I mean, it's great to have Dennis Kelly on the team for Conklin being hurt. Jonnu Smith, though, as much as I like Anthony Firkser as a receiver, I mean, can he handle a bigger role and actually be a factor in the run game? I don't know. He certainly is undersized as a tight end, but, it's also going to be interesting, of course, to see what happens with Derrick Henry from that game. I mean, I would think that he would get more opportunities as a result, but we'll have to see.
Well, the other part about that, and if you look at the numbers, talking about Derrick Henry and what he was able to do, obviously a huge night for him Thursday. You still go back to the Deion Lewis situation. As the second leading receiver for the Tennessee Titans, he almost has as many receptions as number 3 and 4 combined on the Titans list.
Yeah, well, absolutely. So, I do think that when you talk about catching passes right now, I mean, Taywan Taylor's return has been a nice thing here. He did drop one perfect Mariota pass against the Jaguars, but he's kind of reintroduced that vertical threat element for the Titans. So, that's something that maybe they can go there more. Corey Davis really wasn't much of a factor against the Jaguars. He's got to be more involved. And, yeah, like I said, I mean, Deion Lewis is, even if Derrick Henry gets more carries, I think Deion Lewis still has to be a factor in the passing game.
Let's turn our attention to the Preds before we let you go. Tonight they return to the home ice, the first of three games this week at Bridgestone Arena. Tonight they take on Ottawa. The trip to Canada was not very friendly and nice to the Predators. They're still tied atop the lead as far as the Central with Colorado with 39 points each, with Winnipeg just 1 point behind. And, and this is during a time period, obviously, that the Predators having to manage each and every night without such key players as, defenseman P.K. Subban, the injuries to Victor Arvidsson, Philip Forsberg, Kyle Turris. Now, it looks like Subban and Turris are almost back, but it's still a juggling act with what the Predators have to do night in and night out.
Yeah, it's kind of amazing, really, considering how banged up they've been and just how, it's more and more, I feel like, seep into their play that they're still where they are in the standings. But they, pretty soon here, they're really going to need people back. So it's good for them to get home. Like you said, those guys should be back, and then it'll be a little bit longer on some of the other guys. But, I feel like they've started to kind of show the wear and tear of missing those guys, and you know, it's kind of been an extended stretch here with UC Saros, you know, not playing especially well. I mean, Pekka Rinne, to me, is playing out of his mind, keeping him in games. Even when he was pulled the other night, I mean, he that game could have been much worse if not for him playing extremely well. But they need Saros to kind of regain his form, or they need to give him more help, probably a little bit of both.
Yeah, giving up a total of a combined 10 goals in those two games, you know, that was not what the doctor ordered, losing 5-3 to Vancouver and then 5-2 to Calgary.
Exactly. And so is that, you know, you expect maybe some offensive struggles with some of the key pieces they're missing. I mean, they're missing some of their best offensive players. But, if it becomes something where now, you know, you're not – stick with your defensive assignments, you're making a lot of mistakes in the neutral zone and things like that. I mean, that's what you can't have happen. You want it to go the other way, if anything. You had to play a tighter, more sound game to sort of compensate for missing those guys. So, you know, I don't know if it's – every team has, ebbs and flows and things like that, but it seems like maybe just the strain of that might be getting to this team a little bit.